Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
Now, the climate affects all of us and is affected by all of us. The reason why it's so important is because it allows us to live. Our atmosphere is approximately made up of 78% nitrogen and 21% oxygen. The other one remaining percent is filled with lots of other gases like hydrogen and carbon dioxide. Our atmosphere is key to survival as it allows us to breathe freely the air without suffocation or difficulty. But it's not just us, it's everything. The world works in cycles and actions. You change one thing, and another thing is affected. And when things become affected by changes that don't need to happen, then the world becomes a very different place. And if worse comes to worst, and we change the climate too much, then we might not have a world at all. The climate isn't just getting a warmer summer and a colder winter. It's changing the world as we know it right now, and unless something is done about it, it will continue to do so, to the point of no return. The climate affects everything and everyone, regardless of what people say. Put simply, if you live on this planet, then the climate affects you. An argument that many climate deniers use is that the climate has always changed throughout the Earth's history, and therefore we shouldn't worry about it because it will sort itself out. And at a very basic level, they do have a point. The Earth's atmosphere has always changed, but we are making it worse than it ever was before. Since 1880, the Earth's temperature has risen by just over 1 degree. Now, this might not sound like a lot, if anything at all, but that's massive, especially considering most of that has been since 1975. Coincidentally, around the time technology and things like international travel started to boom. But this change, even at just over a little of 1 degree Celsius, the consequences can be dire, including, but not limited to, droughts. Hotter temperatures lead to less rainfall, which can result in drained soil moisture or groundwater, crop damage, or just general water shortages. Famines. People starving. With fewer crops able to grow due to less rainfall, areas of arid land, dry land, in predominantly poor developing countries, can experience famines and not have enough food to satisfy the demand of their population. Wildfires are in the news, again due to hotter temperatures and below average rainfall precipitation levels. Wildfires in hot, dry conditions can burn and cause havoc over massive areas. For example, the 2020 Californian wildfires, which destroyed over 10,000 buildings. Rising sea levels. With a hotter climate, this leads to polar ice caps and glaciers melting at a much faster rate. This excess water results in higher sea levels. In 2020, the global sea level was over 3.5 inches above the 1993 average. And this means that in those 27 years, the sea has risen a tenth of an inch every year. However, as the planet warms, this number will get larger. Floods. With more heat comes more violent weather patterns like large thunderstorms. These storms release major amounts of water, which if an area is unprepared for or not suited for, it can result in complete destruction. In the UK alone, we're experiencing more extreme weather patterns like heat waves and storms. And again, we've always experienced these, but the frequency and, more importantly, the severity of these events is what's putting both the planet and human life at risk. The UK and other rich countries might be able to deal with these consequences as well as prepare for the future at not such a massive financial loss, but that's not the case for every country. Poor or developing countries don't have these excess of funds, money. They have what they have, and if most of their economy and financial imports come from their exports, and something were to change that, for example, a severe flood, then that could be them back to square one. And the worst thing is, these are just the geographical effects. The social and political spheres will be drastically shifted as well. A shortage of food in one country can lead to a war in another country. Malnourishment, starvation, and illness can be caused due to lack of clean drinking water. In large urban areas, heat waves can be fatal, and with more polluted air, breathing problems like asthma, cardiovascular difficulties, and lung and skin cancers can become far more frequent. This is why climate matters. Like I said, it affects everyone. The climate deniers can say it's always changed, but it's never changed like this. And unless we do something to stop it and reverse it, then the future of the planet will not be a happy one. Now, why and how is it changing? There are so many places and people in this world today that the climate was bound to change. The way we live demands it will. But what we're doing isn't good for the planet and all for future generations. The thing to remember is these changes act like dominoes. They can fall one by one by one. Like I said at the beginning, when you change one thing, another thing is affected. And this is exactly what humanity is doing. Well, let's have a look at how it starts. Rising emissions. The way the world works and moves is different now than anything before. In the future, it will be different again. That's what happens. It evolves and changes. But to live the lifestyle we live at the minute comes at a cost. The kickstarter of the global temperature rise are the rising emissions thrown into the atmosphere. Industry is now at an all-time high. Countries around the world are producing energy for their populations, providing them with buildings, roads, materials, and there is a climate cost to production of these. In the world today, there isn't a single country that uses mainly renewable energy sources. In fact, the countries that come closest are currently Iceland with their geothermal environment and Norway with their hydropower. To produce electricity, which can then help the production of roads and buildings, we burn substances which release too much carbon dioxide into the air, also known as CO2. But with a higher global population, it means a higher demand for food, and with transnational cooperations like McDonald's and KFC, worldwide businesses, this food has to be accessible for all. This means that more space has to be given to livestock at the expense of copious amounts of rainforest, which acts as a carbon sink, absorbing around 123 billion tons of carbon in the Amazon alone. But you get rid of this, and what this leads to are higher levels of CO2 and methane in the atmosphere because cows and sheep produce this as a waste product. The fertilizer that these farmers and many farmers around the world use contains nitrogen. And when used, it emits nitrous oxide, another harmful product being pumped into the atmosphere. With the advancement of technology over the years, this has allowed global and local travel to be far more accessible and far more frequent. In the UK, there are over 32 million cars on the road, and there's over 1 billion in the world. Only 7 million electric cars in the world. Now that means that less than around only 0.7% of all cars are not pumping harmful greenhouse gases into our atmosphere. Greenhouse gases. Of course, gases like carbon dioxide occur naturally. For example, we breathe it out as a waste product. It's perfectly natural. The worrying sign is that human activity is increasing the concentrations of these gases into our atmosphere. The reason why they're known as greenhouse gases is because they act like the glass of a greenhouse you might find in your garden. The glass of a greenhouse traps the sunlight, allowing the crops and seeds to benefit as they need sunlight to grow. This is positive. However, these gases absorb the sunlight and don't let it back out of the planet, essentially warming the planet's global temperature. Greenhouse gases are by far the biggest contributor to golden temperature rise. To put it into perspective, the concentration of CO2 in our atmosphere has risen by 48% since the start of the Industrial Revolution back in 1750. This means we've almost doubled it in just under 300 years, and before it, the level had only slightly deviated in 4.5 billion years. The other gases, like methane and nitrous oxide, are actually more serious than CO2, but thankfully, they don't have the same atmospheric lifetime. These gases accumulate over lifetimes, and what's most worrying is that the natural causes in these increases are estimated to have provided around 0.1% of all gases in the past 100 years. So when you take that all in, it's no surprise that the global temperature has gradually increased 0.2 degrees every decade, every 10 years, since the Industrial Revolution. And this, in essence, is global warming. This is how the Earth is warming. We're all doing it. It'll rise and fall naturally. It always has. But when you take into consideration the demand that we place on all aspects of life to maintain our current lifestyle, then that is going to change drastically. That leaves us with only one question to ask. What can be done to stop it? Well, thankfully, it's not all doom and gloom. There is light in the darkness, but this issue won't go away overnight. It needs dedication from everyone. We all know that countries could turn to renewable energy sources and that there would be fewer harmful gases in the atmosphere. But this doesn't tell you what you can do to help. Well, here's some of the things you can do. Greener energy. We know that the fossil fuels aren't good for this planet. However, they are effective in what they do. But just because they're not eco-friendly doesn't mean you don't have to be. Not everything in your life has to be done through electrics and electricity. You don't have to dry your clothes in a dryer. You could hang them up. Whether it's on a rack outside, over a radiator, or wherever you can find space. By doing this, you're using less energy because you're not using unnecessary electricity and you're saving money as well. Now, I get that you'll have to use electricity, but when you do, try and make it green. LED light bulbs are more efficient and last longer than regular light bulbs. It's little things like this that make a big difference and really don't affect the way you live. Public transport. Well, as I've mentioned, there are over a billion cars on the roads around the world today. And with all of that CO2, carbon dioxide, being pumped into the atmosphere, you might wonder what you can do to prevent it. Taking public transport as often as you can will reduce the amount of harmful gases in the atmosphere. And even if you don't like public transport, you can still get around with a bicycle, a mode of transport that only burns calories. More green food. Becoming vegetarian or vegan can help too, even if it's just for one day a week or 2 days a week. The amount of meat that we consume worldwide is unbelievable, but we waste so much of it too because it goes off. Greens don't, well, not as quickly anyway. They're cheaper, good for you, good for the planet, and completely renewable, unlike a packet of bacon. Meat does have its positives. But there are so many alternatives out there now that you really won't be able to tell any difference. Recycle and reuse. Well, for years now, people have been recycling, and it's a good start. The thing is, we need to keep on doing it. So much waste ends up at a landfill that's perfectly good to use or completely recyclable. It's staggering. With today's technology, we can recycle almost anything from electronics to clothes to glass and cardboard. The fewer things we buy, the less need we have for more things to be made. The more we make, the more harm is done, the more resources it takes, and the more importantly, the more unnecessary it becomes. We live in a wonderful world with a wonderful life, and never before have we had the freedom to go where we want, do what we want, with whom we want, and learn anything we want, whenever we want. But it comes at a cost. We only have one world, our true home, so we need to take care of it and never take it for granted. It's up to us to ensure its survival, and if that means not eating meat for a day or hanging my clothes outside to dry, then I'm happy to do it. I hope for the sake of our planet you are too. So do some research on how we can live greener and choose ways that your lifestyle can shift to accommodate less of an impact. Maybe you could use this as a basis for a project at school and bring other people in to be involved. Form an eco club at school so that the education gets wider and deeper. You're exactly the kind of people who can make these changes. There is a will in the world with young people to understand, innovate, and create how to make effective change. And maybe when this generation of politicians has moved on and you come into power, everything will be different. Thank you very much indeed. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative, and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.